Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
I can't even express to you two how excited I am. Because we have a lot of amazing questions that we're going to answer that have totally been staring at me and like guilting me. Like, I know I need to answer these questions. But also because we have, well, Dave here, my co-host, and we have Jamie Waxman. I'm very excited. Thank you for coming back, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. And Dave, I have something to tell you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What happened?
I was at work the other day, and these two lovely women came in. And it turned out that they were listeners to the show that were in town. They're animators, and they were at going to a conference for animators. And so they took two separate buses to get to my work to hang out and like talk. And they were really cool, right? Their names were Heather and Jesse, very talented. Their business cards had amazing drawings on them and stuff. And they said that they were listening to the podcast on the way, like because they had rented a car to go do because they're traveling around. And they said that when your voice comes on, that they turn up the bass and they both like basically press their bodies up against the speaker.
What? What? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's wow.
You're going to have to start reading like erotica or poetry on the show so that you can get long bass stories.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I'm gonna bring like a 15-page short story to read next time.
No, we were actually talking about
holy shit,
Dave's
that's awesome.
Dirty talk minute, and we could just give you a really clean, like a informative, interesting paragraph, and you could
just read like this.
Yeah,
why not? I smoke Marlboros.
Actually,
all day.
This is Jamie's new book, Hot Sex: Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. Wait, ooh, and the illustrations are really hot. What do you think he should read?
Oh,
is there a particular tip? Maybe right
the
now?
Afterword about the author. I'll read the about the author.
Ooh, that would actually be really good.
I haven't read it out loud. Now I'm a little nervous.
It's okay. I'm going to do it in this voice.
Turn up your volume, ladies.
Oh, speaking of that, before I read this, I did a storytelling show last night at Iowa West, mm-hmm. and it was a great show. The host, I had never met her before the show, though. Uh-huh. And she had like very specific intros for all the performers. So I was sitting and I went last. So I was in the back like, what's she going to say for me? And she read my bio off of my website. She like had printed it out and read the whole thing.
That's really official.
So I know how you feel right now, because as she was reading it, I was like, oh my God, that is the douchiest bio I've ever heard in my life. She was like, his sketch group Women is quickly rising in popularity to a room full of people. Oh my God.
All right, Dave, give it to me sexy. That was weird. Just talk.
Give it to me sexy. Your dick is amazing. Girl said that to me once.
Really?
Over and over again. It was the only piece of dirty talk she had. Your dick is amazing.
Do you think your dick is amazing?
I mean, it's obviously amazing.
Oh.
No, I don't. That was the weird thing. I was like, well, it's okay. Like, calm down. It does its job. It doesn't have like a PhD in being a dick, though, you know?
That's like when people say like, oh, your skin's so soft. I'm like, yeah,
do
okay.
People say that?
Yeah.
That's creepy sounding.
No, like, like with the
your
lotion
so
in the basket.
Keep your eyes open. I like your teeth.
No, I get that all the time, and it's just kind of weird after a while. It's like, yeah, okay. I touch it all the time. It's okay. It's skin. I'm a girl. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's my job, to be soft. That's my job.
It's true, actually. Girls are supposed to be soft.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it isn't always the case. So, I mean, you should take it as a compliment. You know?
Right.
I like to say weird, like, offensive things to women in dirty talk, actually.
You're ugly is beautiful.
No, not you're ugly.
That? No?
This is horrible for me. I pity you, and that's why I'm doing this.
Make it
joking
make
around,
it end.
Obviously.
I hope.
Make this, please stop. This is horrible.
Can you make me come already? I want to go home.
Will you call a cab for me? Okay,
right.
I'll
so
read.
Tell me about Jamie Waxman.
Jamie Waxman, Masters of Education, holds a graduate degree in sex education from Philadelphia's Widener University. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's kind of repetitive already.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No.
Keep going.
You're going in a, you're talking in a, like a intentionally sexy voice right
I
now.
I am. I'm doing it.
And it's kind of softening it. Like, just give it. Give it to us, Dave. Give it to us.
I don't know. This voice makes me laugh. How are you? Okay.
I'm great.
Jamie Waxman holds a graduate degree in sex education from Philadelphia's Widener University. She's the former sex advice columnist for Playgirl magazine and a writer for LA Weekly's After Dark. Jamie has also consulted for HBO's The Katie Morgan Show, and her work has appeared in Women's Health, Men's Health, Zinc, AVN Novelty, XBiz, Steppin' Out, and on CherryTV.com, SexHealthGuru.com, and RealitySandwich.com. The author of two prior books on sexuality, Jamie is also the creator and host of the 101 Positions for Lovers and Personal Touch video series for Adam and Eve Pictures. She travels extensively teaching workshops on pleasure, on sexual pleasure, and has been widely quoted in the media. The president of Feminists for Free Expression, she lives in Los Angeles and online at www.jamiewaxman.com.
Wow, that was so exciting.
I know. There's so much in there. It's quite a biography. I didn't know there was a Katie Morgan show.
On HBO, she used to get naked and just spout sex advice for an hour.
Really?
So I helped write a couple of the episodes and consult on them.
Oh, that's cool.
I do want to go through like some sort of like... Like, I met this engineer recently who works with motors, and I just want to just have a nerd out fest with him where I just want to hammer open a bunch of toys and just destroy a bunch of things to look at the motors inside and like analyze why the motors are weighted or how the motor is designed to create that particular type of vibration. So I want to just have him, and we just want to crush things and destroy things. So, and then I just want like buckets of lube, like filled with silicone toys to be like, look how they dissolve, look at them. But that's just... Like destruction and sex. Maybe that's just a fantasy of mine. Destroying things.
No, might as well do that. That sounds awesome.
Just buckets of silicone toys and silicone lube. Just see how they melt. I don't know. You can always do that latex, condom and oil thing.
Right.
That pops and you're like, look, guys, that was educational.
Everyone loves breaking stuff.
Jamie, you're doing something with Candida coming up. Isn't that right?
I am. Candida Royale, who in 1984 started Femme Productions, which was the first couples friendly, and actually it was positioned for couples, line of erotic movies. We last worked together on Under the Covers, which came out in 2007 and was Candida's last film. Okay.
Her stuff does look a little dated, the video covers, but it's basically porn that was designed for women to feel comfortable watching with their partners.
And a lot of it is from the 80s, 90s. I mean, a lot of it's from the 90s, really, primarily. Mm-hmm. And some of her best work, like I love Eyes of Desire 1 and 2, and those are both very 1994.
It was a good year.
It was a great year.
Kurt Cobain died.
That part was sad.
No, I was into it.
But I'm very into the fact that they're reopening the Natalie Wood murder, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, so excited. I know who's going to jail. Yes. Anyway, so we are working on a new film, and without giving too much away, we're focusing on maturing the audience a little bit and making it about a woman who's a little bit older so that there's like a nice storyline, and it goes more with Candida has had a lot of transformation in the last few years. So it's going along like the whole idea of transformation and dating and all of that. And I'm encouraging her to shoot it in San Francisco, which makes me really excited.
You have so many people who are talented at erotic acting in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think we'll just get a really great cast. We already know who we'd like to use for the lead.
Me? Oh my God, I totally
will.
I'll be an extra in an erotic film.
I was going to say, be careful about having sex on camera. Yeah. It haunts. I mean, it not haunts, but it stays with you for the rest of your life. So if you do it, it doesn't go away. And it's definitely something to think about with a career.
Yeah, I mean, I would be okay with it if culturally it were fine, but it's not okay.
Yes.
It's like some sort of stigma. And because I would love to do instructional videos, but unless I actually like, okay, a blowjob DVD. Well, that would be like, it would be nice to just have a male-bodied person and be like, okay, this is how you do this and this is how you do that. And like, it's in my mouth for a second. Now it's not in my mouth. And like, just be able to explain what is going on and maybe not be like really sexy, like, ooh, you taste so good. Like, I probably wouldn't do that. But for me to just be able to show people,
yeah,
it would be really helpful instead of having to talk about it and sort of point at toys.
So have you gotten these emails yet? I get some emails once in a while. Like, I'd really like to see you demonstrate giving a blowjob. I'll pay for a private video and blah, blah, blah. I do not do that. It's just, I'm not.
That was me. I emailed you.
I thought it was you.
It was both of us.
But I find it really interesting because there was this big debate. I started, this one person would not leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And at first, when I thought they just wanted me to get on and instruct, and I even said I would consider using a dildo to show, because I do that in the classes when I teach in front of a room full of strangers. Like, here's me, because it's not a very pretty thing, what giving head looks like.
It's really comical.
It's comical. And, like, all of a sudden, there's this room full of strangers, and you're like, watch me suck something in my mouth that looks funny and awkward and makes my face look funny.
Want to hear something crazy? I totally tried deep throating a dildo in a class and totally, like, didn't tell anybody, but I totally, like, threw up into my mouth. Like, I done again.
That's super gross.
It's totally gross. But
super,
like,
gross.
But I had such adrenaline from the, because they were a bunch of bachelorettes, and my friend was actually, like, holding the dill, and, like, I was trying to show a deep throating technique, and I'm like, this isn't really my forte. So, but I did it, and then I was like, okay, and that's the position. You can just wipe some tears from my eyes, and then move.
Wait,
on.
So what was the technique?
Oh, lying on your back with your head off the bed.
Yes.
To help really open the throat and line up the mouth and the throat, so you're not an L shape, you're more of a straight shape.
Yes.
Sword swallower style, guys.
Writing that down.
Yeah, that's down. I do it all.
Unless
over
you're
a
with
chair.
Me, in which case, don't, because I'll throw up on you, apparently. So
I did have a girlfriend who gave her partner a blowjob after a large Italian meal and puked spaghetti in between his legs.
Holy crap. That's amazing.
Yeah. Story to tell the kids.
Absolutely.
Plus, you have leftovers. I mean, who needs to eat tomorrow?
No. Oh, my God.
Dinner and sex.
But the thing about that kind of stuff is I mean,
it's awesome.
Just know your body, but also if a faux pas happens, it's good to just be like, ha, that happened.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's
just, when I talk with women about gagging, and they're always like, I hate it. I mean, I love it for a couple of reasons. And one of them is I actually really like how lubricated I get. So I like that so lubricated that, like, my mouth is lubricated. I have to wipe my eyes. You know, it's just really sexy to me to have that much lubrication. So I enjoy deep throating and I don't mind gagging. I like it because then he also might think that I just can't take all of him in, which is not a bad thing for him to think if he wants to think that.
Yeah, like, your dick's so big, it can't get in my throat. I mean, I actually couldn't get somebody into my throat, and I was like, that hurts. I don't want to rip my throat.
There is such a thing as too big.
Yeah, there is.
Man, I wonder if this is something I'll ever experience. Probably not, but I'll let you know.
Hey, you always go, you can strap on and blow somebody with a strap on. That's pretty hot. That's really hot.
It is really hot.
It's so hot, especially because to receive oral sex as a female-bodied person, and because you do have a certain amount of connection, sort of like ghost sensation when you strap on. So it's like a really hot feeling to have that happen.
Huh.
So, yeah, and to gender play like that, it's pretty cool.
Sure.
You know, it's something to think about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I have absolutely no desire to put a phallus in my mouth.
Okay.
But, like, I am curious to know. I am fascinated by this.
It's fun. Something.
Yeah. Anyway, I gotta go put a phallus in my mouth.
Alright, well,
you can even just use a toothbrush and see how far back you can go and see, like,
oh, I've definitely done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not the same, but
I would imagine. Yeah.
Or a banana.
No, my toothbrush is like a really huge dick, actually. So it is the same.
Wow. You're really into oral hygiene.
Yeah, I am.
Really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have a question on blowjobs, so I might as well read it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can talk about
it.
Because we just talked about some stuff. Hi, I found your podcast, and I have to say it is one of my favorites, and I have listened to each one. I love the way you approach the topic and feel like I have found a kindred soul. So thanks. Big hug for you. Feel the hugs, guys. Feel it
That's great.
My husband and I have been together for 10 years, and we have a very adventurous sex life because I am pretty much down with trying anything. However, I have one small hang-up I would really like to get over. I love to give him blowjobs. However, the idea of him coming in my mouth totally freaks me out. I don't know if it is the taste or the lack of control I would have, or worrying that I would gag or throw up, and really, what is more of a detour to a sexy time? Oh, we just talked about that. As a result, when he gets close, he has to warn me, and we have to complete the act in another way. I know this has been a disappointment to him. I would really like to learn to swallow to better please him and improve our already great adult playtime. Thanks so much. And then she wrote her name, but if someone doesn't say, like, it's cool to use my name, I feel weird using their name. So, you, anonymous person, that's great. Okay, the whole swallowing thing, it sounds like, I mean, she doesn't want him to come in her mouth because She's afraid of the taste and lack of control and gagging and throwing up and whatnot. But so they finish in a different way, but he can always come in her mouth. Even, she doesn't have to swallow.
Like, right. Well, either way, she's going to taste it, though.
Right. If she if she's not swallowing and it's in her mouth, she'll still taste it.
I mean, I would say, like we've established, I've never given a blowjob. But I would say, like, just like with anything, if you're scared of it, but you want to, just suck it up and do it. And, you know, get him on board and say, like, I might, if I, please don't hate me if I puke on you, you know, say that earlier in the day and then just go for it. And then if it, if you vomit, then I don't know, like, find another route. But you probably won't.
I like that go get him approach. I would add a couple of things in. One is, if for the time she does not want to swallow and has a lot of anxiety, there's nothing hotter than a woman who, instead of stopping the act, says, I want you to come on my chest. I want you to come on my back. I want you to come on my butt. I want you to come on yourself. I want you to come on the wall, whatever. But giving some direction as to where he can come. So instead of the warning, he knows where to go without having to say, I'm about to come. He says, he can pull out and, you know, finish off and come wherever he has just told her. He has just been told to come.
Totally.
That can be really sexy. The other thing that she can do in that situation is, once he's come, and I don't know, this might gross some people out, but I love doing this. If the guy doesn't come in my mouth, I actually like to take my finger and taste it anyway, which would be really sexy as a visual. So, oh,
that's a great idea.
So if she's afraid of how it's going to taste to take the whole load at once, just once he's come, I would just take a little on my finger, put it in my mouth, lick it off, hot, and then see, okay, that wasn't so bad, or wow, I don't ever want to do that again, or whatever it is. It's also really good for your face, semen, so you can grab a little bit more.
Does it close your pores?
It's really good for your skin. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Do you know why?
I think it tightens everything up,
okay.
And so it just really firms up your face.
Well, your face gets pregnant.
No,
that's why.
No, I noticed, because they say egg white is really good for your face, and then it like tightens your skin a lot, and it's kind of this neat, tight feeling, like your pores are all closed. And I noticed the same sensation with cum, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of good
for
my...
Yes, it's like a mask.
Uh-huh.
And it's also actually an antidepressant. They say if you repeat it, it was a study that was a very small study, but this one little gem of a finding was that semen, if you swallow it, is an antidepressant. The other thing is, if she wants to experiment with the swallowing and is ready to take one for the team, the further back she actually swallows, the less she'll taste. It will go down much faster and much easier if she, when he comes, keeps him really far back.
Yeah, the back of the mouth, it's already halfway there.
Yes.
Like, definitely going in deeper. I mean, but knowing where your gag reflex is, so if he's suddenly in the gag zone, he's gone too far back, but to go as far back as you can, and because it'll kind of shoot and kind of just
go right down. And then if worst case scenario she hates it so much, she can just spit it back out. I did once have this experience. I don't know if you've ever had this, Sandra.
I was
at actually my ex-boyfriend and I were at a sex party, and we were just playing together, but we liked the idea of doing it in this room full of people.
Yeah.
He could not get an erection because there were too many guys watching and it wasn't working for him, but I was still just sucking his cock, basically. Well, not basically. That's what I was doing. And he was soft. And next thing I know, he shot the largest load and I wasn't ready for it. And it was soft. And so I could go further back. And it went up my nose and out my nose.
No way.
I was like choking. Yeah. It was the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me when it came to coming.
I take it back that it's never happened to me. I'm really fascinated with ejaculation when a guy is soft, because it totally happens and it's totally possible. And I've just, it just hasn't been, like, I have been at a sex party and had been with a person who wasn't able to get hard because you're surrounded by people, and that's,
yes,
that's an awkward situation. But, or can be, but yeah, we didn't like continue, but that's really cool. I mean, except for that, no, because that could probably burn.
It was so weird. It burned so much. And by the way, I realize we've talked about semen a lot, you and I, because that's like the last podcast too. It burned a lot. It really was not the most pleasant feeling. And the other thing I just thought of for this woman, because I get excited now, is she could also just, he's probably got some pre-ejaculate, which would give her an idea of what his semen might taste like when she's, it's not the best.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean,
if she's tasted that, then she's good to go.
Pre-cum, to me, tastes really salty and mellow. I mean, it depends on the person
on their
diet.
Yes, it does taste a little mellow. And it's not as thick.
Yeah, I mean...
What do you mean by mellow?
Not particularly pungent or strong of a taste. Sort of like tofu or cauliflower. Like, mellow. There's nothing really
going... It's funny. I mean, I have...
Chicken's delicious.
tasted cum once, my own, and I never didn't even actually find it to be a strong taste at all.
It can be. Yeah.
Do you eat a lot of meat?
Yes, I do.
And you smoke cigarettes? Because that also affects the meat, cigarettes, alcohol, antihistamines, garlic, asparagus. That's going to make semen taste more pungent than if it doesn't. But if it's your own.
But what's the? When did you taste it?
I accidentally came in my mouth. I was just like sitting down, jerking off, and just like straight into my mouth.
Whoa.
Shot straight into my mouth. I was just like, what? It was horrible. I was not ready for it at all. I know a few people that stabbed. Like my friend James told me one. This was in high school, which was particularly jarring. He was laying down flat on his bed, jerking off. He came and it went in like a perfect arc landed in his mouth.
It's better than the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and now you know what your cum tastes like, and that's not a terrible thing.
But I'm really impressed at his muscle spasm strength and that he is able to shoot directly into his mouth. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's weird. I would imagine that he didn't tell me the whole thing, and it was just like a big splat on his face, and some got in his mouth. Because I don't see how it would, you know, stay together in one perfect. I mean, maybe.
It depends.
I don't know, but magic does happen. Miracles happen, and that was just
It was a moment. The stars aligned that day, and he got to come in his own mouth. Perfect bell curve.
I actually encourage like the guys I'm with to. I think it's very sexy when a guy tastes his own semen.
Yeah,
it's important. I think it's necessary for that experience to happen because I've tasted myself to be like, oh, how are we tasting today? Oh, kind of tangy. All right, good to know because I have a date later.
I'm the same way, and I taste like if I feel like something's a little off, and I taste myself, then I'm like, okay. I taste normal, so whatever I'm feeling is just me right now. Like I think it's very – like I like to be in check with my body.
Yeah. And well, smell and taste actually are signs of just how you're doing and your health. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing something on TV about how Tibetan like doctors, they take your urine and like whisk it and smell it and taste it. And like if it smells sweet or smells a certain way, it means you have diabetes. Like it was just – I mean because there'd be extra sugar. Basically – by being more in tune with your body fluids, you know, you can get a certain sense of things. Like, did I mention that I was told once that I tasted bitter? And I realized that my diet had been horrible for weeks and weeks. And so I changed my diet and my taste totally got better. Huh. Yeah. Like, it was a perfect sign that, okay, your lifestyle is getting so lame right now. You need to, like, up your game in your diet.
Yeah.
So, like, more fruits and vegetables, less sugar, less just, like, lame processed products. But anyway. But getting back to this wonderful person who wrote, the antidepressant thing, I was reading about cum being an antidepressant, and I would like them to do a bigger study because there was also, there were some correlations between who was in a relation, like happiness in terms of who's in a relationship, who's not, and what the context is around you swallowing somebody's cum. So, but I really hope that that's true because that'd be really cool. Like if everyone's... secretions made everybody else feel good. Yeah. That'd be really neat.
It's true. They do need to do a bigger study. And that wasn't actually even the major point of the study, I don't think. And having just finished a course because I'm finishing my PhD now in sex research. And,
Widener, right?
Yeah, at Widener. So. And we had to do an analysis on research literature in this last course. So I really was nervous at first. And now I'm like, wow, I know how to read research better. Mm-hmm. And really how large a study it is, what they're looking for, the correlation, like who they've recruited, who's doing the study, where was it done, who funded the study. It all makes a huge difference as to what is being, what's told and what's revealed at the end of the study sometimes. So the antidepressant thing does need to be looked at. It was a very small part of the study, and it needs to be looked at more. But the idea that it's true, and it's true, too, if you're in a relationship for a longer time, couples seem to be less unhappy.
Yeah, there is a correlation between happiness and relationships. That always makes me happy to hear. You know, I want people to be happy. But the fact that him coming, like the idea of him coming in her mouth freaks her out. Like there seems to be this just over fear about it.
Sure. Oh,
just this intense fear where you go get him, if he just comes in her mouth, it's really like I would hope in 10 years of marriage that like some cum just accidentally splashed in there or something, but like that's just a total barrier to get
sure.
I personally very much, it's a texture thing, but I really do have a very difficult time with cum in my mouth. Way to, you guys know more about me now. But I mean, it's seriously, if you just want to let somebody kind of have the feeling of coming in your mouth, but not really fully have to just, you know, tongue bathe it, it just like, just putting just the head in your mouth and just really jerking off at the time that they're coming, and they can come in and then just let it dribble straight out. Like it can just come in and go straight out. So it's not like you're like, you don't have to have a pool of cum in your mouth that you're like, all right, what do I do now? You know, that's awkward. Especially when you're, you know, what's really hard, guys, is when your hands are covered in cum and you want to go spit out the cum in your mouth and you can't open the door to get out of the bedroom into the bathroom. That is a really awkward moment.
That's why I just wipe the cum on my face or on my body.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, I got it off.
It's true. Like, well, there's that too. I'm like, blah, blah. But then I'm like, you know, 20 bite baby wipes later, like, because showering is so...
No, but it's good for the skin.
Why? Yeah, it totally is. It's true.
We were talking about this last night. Why is it that after someone comes, we feel the need to have to be clean of it? Like, why? Where did that thing come with this?
Oh, that's usually because, like, I have to go to work at night or something. Like, I have to go somewhere or, you know.
I still would rather smell like the guy's cum and go to work. I think it's sexy. I bet you more people would, like, actually talk to me, too, be attracted to me because there's, like, a whole pheromone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I needed to rub it in more because I would get crusty.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It gets sticky.
But you know, I should definitely think about just doing like a really thin layer everywhere and just see what happens. You know, and just because I don't think maybe I just wasn't massagey enough with it. You know, I don't know. It was just like it was comical. Like I actually felt really proud because after a while with like my two forearms, I would grip the hand bars and it would be like a funny little like hop off the bed and skip over to the door and go. And then like, you know, but also if hair is in my throat, like I die.
The worst feeling ever. Yeah,
it is.
So that's something. But really.
So rub the cum in. That's that was the advice I took from what we just talked about.
Yeah, just go for it. But it's like, it's not going to just make you gag immediately, but you're not really going to know if it does or not until you actually try it because everyone's different. But most people, I haven't ever had someone say, like, just come in my mouth will make me gag. It's usually the penis that makes them gag.
And what I'm also hearing in that email is, like, it's a brain game for her. She keeps bringing this anxiety into her head, like, this is going to taste bad or I'm scared. And instead, if you can just take what you're thinking and either, like, let the thoughts pass and leave or think, this is going to be hot. I'm going to love this. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. Instead of, oh God, it's going to happen. That can also change the perception when it happens, when you are willing to try it.
Yeah, like, this is love juice. You know? So my friend called it. And I was like, that's amazing. Because she was like a huge swallower. And I'm all like, you go, girl. Yeah. And she's talking like... but she's like, yum. Like, it's delicious.
Exactly.
Like,
oh, change your perspective on what you're thinking about it.
Yeah. And believe me, I've tried so hard. Like, I am so committed to pleasure. The thing is, though, I love what you said, just to finish it up, about don't stop it and be like, oh, you're going to come soon. Now we have to rearrange. And just seriously, just like pull it out and jerk it off and like put it somewhere else. Like,
That's also great.
Yeah. Just fluid movements, you know, those awkward pauses where everyone's like, oh, rearrange. It just, it can kind of take away from it a little bit.
Most blowjobs I get are half a hand job anyway, you know? Yeah.
That's so the best kinds of blowjobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Good luck. And I'm planning a blowjob podcast soon. I'm really excited. So we're going to talk about that.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's my favorite.
Okay. It's your favorite.
Yeah.
Do you prefer it over intercourse?
You know what? I almost do now, but I used to not be able to get off from a blowjob. From the first, probably the first like 20, 30 times a girl went down on me, I couldn't get off. And it was totally anxiety. And I don't know from what, but I would get hard. I would be into it. And then at a certain point, I wouldn't be into it. And it would stop feeling good. And I would just be like, all right, let's have sex now. Or something more awkward than that. Because I was far more awkward then. But now, yeah, I really, really enjoy it. But I don't know. Do I like it more than sex? I like everything. I just, sex is like a party to me. Let's just do it all. Who cares? Yeah. We'll switch back and forth between all that. That sounds great.
Yeah, I like saying, like, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just really happy to be here, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Punch I your like card. Kissing sometimes, though, better than sex. I do. Sometimes, I mean, I love
making
kissing.
Making out?
I love
making out. Oh, yeah. It's a blast.
Mm-hmm. I've met so many men who don't like making out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I will say
that
there have been some girls, and this has only happened to me a few times, but there are some girls that I've made out with where that has made me not want to have sex with them. Like,
true.
The kissing was so horrible. Like,
what was horrible about it? Let's talk about what is horrible about that kissing.
Okay, well, first of all, it's only my own opinion. You know, everyone likes different things, but there have been a couple girls who have, not the whole time, but they have licked my teeth, and that's just like, ah! It made me feel
we
gross.
All made faces of ooh, yeah. So
whoa.
We're there with you, man.
And then like the one that comes to mind is sort of like a jackhammer tongue. Like a tongue.
Like a lizard.
Like, yeah,
dark,
totally.
Dark.
And she her mouth wouldn't open very, very wide, but her tongue was in my mouth. So there wasn't like
I've experienced that.
Yeah, it's
really
strange.
Awkward. Yeah.
Because it's all about lips, in my opinion, you know?
Oh.
Well, and the tongue's cool too, but like, and be soft, you know, like, I don't know. I just feel like the most fun I've ever had making out has been, when we're both just doing what's like sensationally feeling the best, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Which is like soft touching, with, you know, both your mouth and your hands and your bodies or whatever.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeve with kissing, well, not biggest pet peeve, but it's a huge, something that I've noticed a lot, especially with people that aren't particularly experienced, is that their lips get really tight.
Yeah.
And like, there's just this tension in their lips where it just pulls tight and they just don't, like Angelina Jolie that shit, guys. Like, just relax your lips. Like,
totally.
I don't care if you have thin lips, full lips, whatever. Just like relax your lips and just, because that softness is what feels good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that softness.
That hard tongue, man. That's a killer. Just,
For me, I don't like too much saliva, too. Like, if you've gotten to a point where you're not controlling how much is coming out of your mouth, like, pull that back.
Yeah, I'm hyper aware of that. I'm always like, up, work. All right, pull that. Yeah.
Like, there's a way to, like, swallow it, do a closed mouth kiss for a few minutes, and then, you know, come back together. But those who are like, I'm like, I have had boyfriends where I have to, like, wipe, and I'm just, and at that point, I'm like, this is not sexy anymore.
Yeah, like a thin, like the thinnest layer of moisture to help lubricate the situation. But any more than that, it starts to get a bit, it's like, hold it back, guys. Okay, our next question. Her subject line, I've never orgasmed during sex, ... and it's finally starting to drive me insane. I've been having sex since age 16, and I've been faking orgasms for just as long. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love sex, all kinds of sex. On my own, I can get myself off in 30 seconds if need be. But for some reason during sex, I just can't get there. I've had plenty of sex drunk and sober, so it's not that. I know that what gets me off. I require a lot of clitoral pressure over the hood repeatedly. The only way I ever masturbate is lying on my stomach, grinding on my hand, and thinking of an intense fantasy. I've tried to recreate this during sex, and I recently got really close. I began having sex with a guy a few weeks ago who is into light bondage and lots of toys. The Hitachi magic wand, combined with being tied to the bed and blindfolded, almost did the trick, but I still couldn't get off. Any suggestions? Have you ever heard of this before? Hell yeah.
Never heard of this.
That's like top 10 most common situations. You are not alone, my friend. Not at all. Two things. Only masturbating one way makes it a lot more difficult to be able to experience orgasms in a variety of ways in your sex life. So that's branching out in terms of what you can get off doing really can help you out. But I love that you can get off in 30 seconds if need be. Like, that is so I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I'm so impressed.
I can't do that.
But she sounds like a grinder, like a total grinder, on her stomach, repeatedly pressure on the clit hood. So, sounds like you're already on your way to having an orgasm if you already got really close. Like, it just seems like more practiced and more of that. Like, I feel like you're on a really good track.
Yeah. It seems like she's about there.
Yeah.
I would also add that 65% of women do not have orgasms during penetration alone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I would say that if she wants to try practicing having an orgasm with a partner, that maybe it didn't say that she inserts anything inside of her when she's masturbating. Mm-hmm. So maybe if she tried inserting something inside of her while she was masturbating, that would also help. Because for me, having an orgasm with something inside of me is much more difficult than having an orgasm with, well, my vibrator or my hand if I'm just focused on my clitoris. So if you're a clitoral girl with a lot of, you need a lot of clitoral stimulation, but now you're trying to get off even with that clitoral stimulation, but you've got something else completely else going on, which is something in your vagina at the same time, I would start practicing with something inside of the vagina when you're masturbating and switch it up even if you can there.
So you can, it's easier for you to get off with your hand and nothing inside than with your hand and something inside?
I'm starting to get better with my with someone's finger or something inside, but with a penis inside of me, it's still way more difficult to get off than it is. When I'm having intercourse, I mostly need to be doing something to my clitoris in order to make myself have an orgasm.
Oh, completely.
But not always, but most of the time. But I kind of get lazy. I'm like an either or girl. I'm like, oh, you're inside. That feels good. I don't. I'm just going to enjoy what you're doing to me and not like start playing with myself because, you know, I want to be lazy right now or whatever. So I don't focus on it. I do also practice a lot of squeezing and releasing my pelvic floor muscles mm-hmm. when I'm masturbating, and then I try and put like a dildo or even my finger inside me so that I do it while there's something inside of me, because that really gets me to an orgasm much more quickly than if I don't squeeze and release the pelvic floor muscles.
Yeah, that's so important.
So that, and I need to practice with something inside of me in order to have an orgasm during intercourse with something inside of me as well. So those are two things that I heard. And there was something else that I wanted to say to her. About
because I want to talk about the fact that she's been faking orgasms. This
yes,
whole thing.
That's what it was. It was that's doing a real disservice to your partners
yeah.
who then think that they know what you want, and then they take this with whoever else they go to. And I just would say, don't fake it anymore. Just don't have one. That's my advice. If you can't get to the orgasm, just don't get to it. Like, just
yeah, it's totally okay.
It's totally okay, and I think faking it is just such a disservice to you and your partner.
Yeah, it's
hard.
They're
not going to freak out if you don't have an orgasm.
Some people,
they'll probably just try harder.
If they
do,
though, then they have to look at their own.
That's
stuff.
On them.
They do. Yeah, it is on them.
Yeah, no, I've talked to a lot of women who their partners just freak out and they're like, "Did you do it? I want to make you come." And then that phrase, I hate that phrase. I want to make you come, like I'm forcing you to come. It's very intimidating.
That's actually my deal breaker phrase. Like, what's the worst thing a guy can say to me when we're having sex or when we're about
I'm
going
to make you come.
I'm going to make you come. I am like, oh, shoot, because now the pressure is on, and if I don't do it, he will feel like he's disappointed or a failure when I don't need an orgasm to have a great time. In fact, if I don't have it, then for the rest of the day, I am just randy and horny, and I, like, my vision is clear, and I'm just, like, ready to, you know.
Ooh, your vision is clear.
It gets clearer.
Your,
very,
like, your senses are crispy.
It's so crispy, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So I enjoy that, and if I have the orgasm, great, but if I don't, I know how to take care of myself, so it's okay. Like, it really doesn't.
Yeah, you own it. You own yeah. it. It's not a blame game. Like, when sex
right.
is done, it's not like, fucking this guy over here. You know,
but geez. That's my big deal breaker. If a guy yeah. says to me, I'm going to make you come, I'm like,
Yeah.
It's a turn off.
Yeah.
Hear that, guys? We don't have to do that anymore. So, yeah, we're off the hook. That's awesome.
Or you can try, but you don't have to tell us that's what you're,
nope.
you're going
to. Right. Never, ever again going to give a girl an orgasm.
I'm sorry, anyone who dates Dave. I'm sorry.
You can help assist her to the orgasm. You
nope.
can do that.
I refuse.
Nope. You just, as soon as she gets close, you just kind of smack her hand away.
I just
no.
leave. I just put my clothes on and leave. That's what I'll do. Forever.
I mean, saying I don't want you to come. Ed once said that when we were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was very sexy to me. And
don't
I think that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want
yeah.
you to come. That makes sense yeah. to like
what?
Make me want to come harder.
Totally.
Like being a rebel.
Yeah.
Someone said that to me. I'd be like, oh, okay.
All right. I lost my tail again.
No, but.
It's an ER reference.
If I were really close. No, I'm really like following the directions. So or rules. So if someone's like, I don't want you to come, I'll be like, oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay. But it's also how you say it, you know. I think if they say it like in a very playful way, like, don't you go, don't you go, I'll be like, oh, okay, you really want me to, I can tell. But if they're like, don't you dare, because you know.
Well, if someone said that to you, don't you dare come. Don't ever come.
Don't you, I don't know. I guess
you gotten
that's
that?
Hot,
like, though. I don't want you to come?
I I think in the dirty talk that I have had in my life with some partners, there has definitely been, it's playful, but it's definitely like, don't you fucking come. Like there, yeah. there's like that, ooh, you're, you know, like that kind of dirty talk with that sort of tone of voice. And it's really fun because you're totally just playing. You're not actually angry or anything. Sure. You're like, ooh, don't you. So that's like my mimicking of dirty talk.
And I don't really like come for me, baby. I don't like
come for
way.
Me, baby.
Come for me, baby.
Whoa. Yeah, ooh, that's weird. That immediate performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, do I need to scream more now? Oh, jeez. But yeah, faking orgasms, I don't know. I faked an orgasm once, and it really just killed my soul inside, like, afterward, because I felt so dishonest to myself, like, and the person I was with, but to myself. It felt so weird. But I think I said this before, but I told this woman once who was faking her orgasm all the time with her partner. Not all the time, not like when she was at breakfast. Like, oh my God, I'm coming. That'd be weird.
These are the best eggs ever.
Oh, I will so totally have what you
said. All of them have been faked in my life, turns out.
You know how you can tell, though, really, is after an orgasm, there is a certain amount of just body release tension, and you have that sort of fuzzy face. And you're like, ugh.
I also look, even though this isn't necessarily a sign, but I look at nipples. If the nipples are like ding and erect, like that's a good sign that your body has also come to like some, you're really highly aroused. Where if like you've got no nipple play going on or your face is flushed, all of these things, like there are body signs.
Yes.
That you're building to orgasm as yeah. well.
Yeah, and the heart rate. If you can hear the heart rate, it's like boom, 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 boom. Like if they just faked an orgasm or if they just expressed an orgasm and like, oh, and then, like, and then they fall down and you like hear their heartbeat and it's just like boom, chicka, chicka, boom, boom, boom. You know, you're like, ah, oh, you're kind of faking right now or something.
Also, you have a heart murmur.
Yeah, I was the only. I have faked orgasms in my. I mean, I stopped years ago. I promised myself I wouldn't. But most of the time when I did it, was those guys that were like, "I'm gonna make you come," and I was just like, "Well,
that's
then,
so interesting."
Okay,
I have certainly said that. I've definitely said that, and it never occurred to me that that would put pressure on a person. That totally makes sense that it does.
Yeah, totally. Like this one's like, "Oh yeah, you get hard. You get so hard. You
yeah,
get
have hard. A, keep your boner." Keep your erection.
You're
going
to go home
erection.
Now and type emails to all these girls. I need to write to you and say I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry.
If yeah. I ever put pressure on you to have an orgasm.
I am. I'm going to be so anxious the next time I have sex.
Fantastic. Just what I hope to happen.
You've done your job. You've done your job.
All right. So the next question is, hello, I'm a 24-year-old guy, and I've recently started having sex for the first time. The problem is I'm horrible. I last only a couple minutes, and I have no idea how to make a woman feel good. I also have no oral experience. I guess I was wondering, how do regular people become good at sex? Are there books I should be reading? Thanks.
Oh, man. Adorbs. You just started.
Yeah. Like, 24, you just started having sex. Like, you're fine. Everything's
yeah,
fine.
That's normal. You're normal. Yeah.
Like you're gonna.
You're
have
not good
oral.
At something right away.
So yeah. Two things too. One, She Comes First by Ian Kerner. I
yes.
do think is one of the best books on cunnilingus. And at the end of the book, at the end, if I just said and, he gives three different exercises for you to practice, like lick, lick, flick, lick, lick. So there's a
he
good.
He gives like, oh wait, it's a total like, routine. Like,
yeah,
like,
he gives like, different routines at the end of the book. So that's a great way if you want to really like learn some routines. But number two, masturbate. This is separate. Well, so yeah, he gives great routines. Let's stick with the cunnilingus part there for a second. Mm-hmm. And remember too, I've come up with this term, porn is camera-lingus. There's a big difference between what you see in porn and what you see in real life. You don't, if you see tongue, you're not close enough to the pussy. Yeah.
Like your lips need to be making
yeah.
contact.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I watch guys go down on girls in porn, I think they're doing it
wrong. That's for the camera, because
right.
you want tongue, you want to see the clit, you want, I mean, whatever.
It seems
that's,
sexier, right?
It, yeah. I guess to some people seems sexier. I'm going to make a porn movie where you don't see anything and see what happens. I'm serious. Like, I really
want
to try that.
Please do. I've thought about this.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So cameraling is out. The other thing is, if you're worried about not lasting long enough, masturbate before you go out on your date. Get off before you do it, and then it'll take you longer the second time.
And practice with a condom. And practice masturbating
yes.
for really long periods of time. Really drag it out.
Also, if the girl's down to like, yeah, I used to like come pretty quickly. It gets, and I still do sometimes. Mm-hmm. But normally, like the girl I'm sleeping with is down for like a session. You know, mm-hmm. normally people want to have like more sex than just once. So if you come really quickly the first time, then, you know, hang out, have a sandwich, high five, make some jokes, and then have sex again. You know?
Make out
or have sex again immediately if you're up for it. You know?
That's really fun when guys don't just the minute that penis is in vagina, then it's like, all right, we're going for the gold. This is just going to be sex, pound, pound, pound until somebody or both of us come. Like, it's nice when they stop and then we do some other stuff and then we go back to sex.
Totally.
Like, where you just so
make a night of it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good point too, Sondra. So if he like gets to the point where he knows where like he's getting before that point of no return, pull out, start kissing or, you know, touching or just cuddling, whatever, and let yourself come back down and come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, at 24, it might, and if you're just starting to have sex, it might be more exciting to just keep going, but but playing with that would definitely help.
Yeah, come to think of it, when I just started, I'm sure when everyone just started having sex, the idea of getting to the orgasm, that's it. That's all you're thinking about. Yeah. And,
you know, I started having sex when I was 16 and I didn't have my first orgasm till I was 21.
Really?
I thought I was having them because it felt good and I liked doing it. But then when I had my first orgasm, which was by myself with a vibrator, I realized, oh, so not being sure. Yeah. That means you haven't had one.
Yeah, I remember my first orgasm and like the crazy muscle contractions that happened. Like, I'm like, what the hell is that? It was like I had a percussion band.
A marching band
boom,
coming
boom, boom,
through.
Boom, boom. I was like, holy crap.
Man, that is certainly something to be jealous of.
Yeah.
Guys to girls. It's not what an orgasm is like for me.
Could you describe what an orgasm is like for guys or for you?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Well, obviously, it's like, you know, building like a crescendo of pleasure sensation, and then sort of like my penis and balls like contract like right when I'm about to come, and then I sort of like lunge forward, I think, every time, like, and then like a wave of pleasure across my body, and then I'm like, and then a release.
Do you feel the semen crawling up your penis?
Sometimes.
Crawling?
Like, if it's a really, really good orgasm, I can literally feel my penis filling with cum, and then I'm like, and the longer
that's so awesome.
That happens,
that awesome.
You know, like, I mean, when it's really, really good sex, that will last for a few seconds, and I'll know. I'll just be like, oh, whoa, all right, this is going to be that was insane. And actually, like, something that's been happening to me more and more is like sometimes it'll take, it's taking more and more pumps to come completely for me now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be like one or two, but now, especially if I'm masturbating, it's like three or four.
But does that mean that
I'll shoot like three times?
Your orgasm lasts longer, or just the pumping? Like, has the pleasure sort of subsided by those last couple pumps?
No, it's. It hasn't, but it's not like each one is an orgasm. There's like a really huge like explosion of feeling at the beginning with the first shoot, and then like a little bit more when more comes out, and then a little bit more the next time. Yeah. Or maybe sometimes the second pump will be like the most explosive feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It changes.
Yeah. Oh, God, to have a penis at least for a day.
I just, yeah.
2 days,
well, what you
maybe?
Guys describe, when women describe an orgasm to me, it's like their entire body contracting and exploding with feeling. Like, it just seems like a larger, a more intense feeling to me.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, that was it.
Oh, that happens to me, too.
Sometimes it's just like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
That happens to me masturbating, and that's such a letdown. Not every time, obviously, but it's such a... You know, sometimes you just like, I would imagine this happens to everybody. Maybe it doesn't. But sometimes I'll just be like bored and I'll have something to do in like 45 minutes. And I'll think I will have a much better day if I just come real fast. And so I just like figure out a way to turn myself on and then go jerk off. And in those situations when it like I wasn't turned on at all beforehand, the orgasm always sucks.
Yeah, the more arousal you have, the better the payoff, really.
Well, I think it's also, yeah, totally. It's if you know that it's like a job you're getting done.
Or
I don't think that's...
the longer it's... Like, I was just in New York for 27 days, but who's counting, and got back a few days ago. And I only masturbated twice while I was there. And I'm like a daily masturbator.
Okay.
So yesterday I woke up and I'm like, well, maybe I'll just try and wait a little longer. And then I'm like, no, I need to get off now. And I had like six orgasms yesterday because I couldn't stop masturbating. Like
like breaks in between?
Yeah, like I take breaks. Like even I've masturbated once today already, for sure. And I'll probably, depending on
me too, high five.
Yeah.
I'm the only one here who hasn't masturbated yet today. It's insane.
One of these things. It's not like the other.
It's awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, so this guy, how to make a woman feel good. When you can also just ask. I mean, the hardest thing, I think, is to be with a partner that doesn't make any sort of outward signs of if they're feeling good or not. Like when someone just sort of turns their head inside and is like totally quiet the entire time, and then all you can hear is breathing. Like that's a really difficult thing. So if they are making noises, they're probably telling you with their sounds and their body movements.
I always think that people make noises because they hear it in porn. Mm-hmm. So there's that like little bit of warning for me that like, well, noises, depending on what they are, can be genuine.
That's true, because there's that like, it's like, oh, shut up.
Like I can go from zero to fake it in 30 seconds. I've won fake orgasm contests, and I don't actually make a lot of noise.
I want to compete. When do we do this? We should have one.
There are fake orgasm competitions?
Yeah, like when I go to Hedonism 2 in Negril, Jamaica, they have one every year.
That's hilarious.
Fake orgasm contest.
Oh my God. Can you just take me? I can like, be your date.
Sure. Oh, we can talk about it, because I'm sure I can take you.
Oh, that would be so great.
I bet you could even do some podcasts from there, and then it would be worth it even more.
I could pack Dave in my suitcase.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, no, my first year out there, because I have a background in radio, and my first year that I went, which was over 10 years ago now, we did broadcast every day from Hedonism. We set up a radio station, and last year when I was there, there was another radio station there. So you guys could absolutely do a week of podcasts. It's a swingers week when I go. So there are lots of interesting people to talk with there. And
sure.
It's a really unique experience, for sure.
Man, I would love that.
Plus,
that'd be so cool.
Bonus, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you get scared seeing your reflection on the ceiling. Above your bed, there's a mirror.
Bonus.
Yeah. Woohoo. Okay. So, of course, like when I get so excited, it's like, oh, just the tip. But wait, but everything else is so interesting. So we didn't do just the tip, but this is perfect because then I can explain. So I want to start doing a thing where we also talk about a bit of anatomy also. So Jamie's going to present a tip, and I'm going to do just the clit, which is going to be anatomy. Now, usually I would say that just the tip is at the beginning, mainly because you want to start off slow. You want to just sort of work yourself, like take your time, right? Hmm. But then when it comes to the female body, you generally want to wait to do like clit-centric really things at the very end of a whole lot of play. So that's why I want to talk about the clit stuff at the end. So, but anyway, what was your tip?
Well, do you want me to do a clit tip this time since we're doing it at the end? Would you prefer that? And then I can do this other tip some other time if you have me back.
Oh, yes.
If you'll have me again.
Yeah, sure. Bring it on. Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's fun to do something that Annie Sprinkle and Joseph Kramer had once had talked about in one of their vulva massage videos. I call it rock around the clit, which maybe I don't remember what they called it. Could be the same thing. And just instead of going directly on the clitoris, start at the above the hood of the clitoris and go like it's a clock face from 12 back up to 12. And just stop at 12, at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 4, and so on. And figure out which o'clock, which hour on the clock face feels the best. For me, I'm a 2 o'clock girl. 2 and 10 o'clock are often the most popular, but figure out which area around the clitoris. So you just completely go around.
Okay.
Yeah. Completely go around with your fingers, and you're not directly on the head of the clitoris. You're just going around the clitoral structure.
The edge of your finger is sort of nudging the clit.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And find out, and this will give you a chance to experiment and be able to communicate with your partner so that you can be more effectively figuring out how to get you off. What place around the clitoris or what areas it feels the best.
10 to 2. That's perfect. That's like totally, I mean, I might be like a 9 to 3, you know, but 10 to 2, that's good. That's also like a great times for lunch or brunch, you know, right in there. And also great times to play with your clit, like right there.
That's something I'm definitely going to try.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that.
10 and 2.
Uh-huh,
like driving.
Yeah. And then exactly. You can have
there you go driving
it's like 10 and 2, and you can have sexy, like if you have a partner and you want to be like, I'm gonna play with your clit tonight, you can just be like, see you at 10 and 2, and then you don't have to ever talk about it at work.
That is amazing. That's great.
Love that. Oh, I want to meet Annie Sprinkle someday.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
You'll come visit me.
And she's in, yeah.
She's not all that the, far.
Oh, God, I'm so LA, but I so want to live in San Francisco. Oh, so I love it. All right. So for just the clit, I want to talk about a bit of anatomy that has really helped me out and has helped others out in terms of touching your partner's body. And that would be the blade of the hand. So if you look at your hand, it's basically the tip of your pinky down to your wrist on the very side, that edge right there, especially the palm part. Fantastic area to use on someone's body for lots of reasons, two of which are, one, when you are, let's say, giving a blowjob, right, and you want to really make that, give the person a feeling that they are really just in you as much as they can, even if you're not actually, if they're not fully in your mouth, by every time you stroke down with your hand, if you make an intense effort to hit the base of their cock at the pubic mound, it really gives a sense of like, bam, I'm in. And then you pull out and you do it again. And so it's good, especially if you use that in conjunction with them going deeper in your mouth. It's just, it really feels solid and it makes a great impact on the body. So I love that bit of anatomy for that. Also amazing if you want to play with the ass area, like between the cheeks, and like every time you sort of like start using your fingers and caressing, your partner just cleanses up. It's like, no. Use the weight of your hand and some lube or some massage oil and really just using it to get between the cheeks, because a lot of that pokey feeling with fingers and tongues, it tends to feel like you are so going to penetrate me and I'm so not ready and I don't know if I trust you. And there's just this feeling of invasion that happens. But when you have something as broad and thin as your hand, you can just slide it and it feels really good and it hits everything. So please integrate that. It's a really fun thing to do.
Yes. I like that. I'm trying to think of like some catchy little phrase for the blade.
Kung Fu Chop. Yeah.
Be one with the blade. I don't know.
Blade. Wesley Snipes.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. That's
it.
What girls call me. Blade Runner.
With the bass down low.
Yeah.
I like my beats. That's sorry.
No, it's cool. She's going to sing for an hour now.
Yeah, Jamie, sing us out. No,
sing us out.
Jamie, where can people find you? I know we read your bio.
You can find me online. I'm on Twitter at JAMYE. It's the way my parents spelled my name. It's not the way I spelled it. And jamiewaxman.com. And again, that's JAMYE.
Yes. Yes.
Or you can find me here today on the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Yay! Dave, what is your website and Twitter?
My website's davetotheross.com. T-O-T-H-E, no number. And Twitter, I'm at davetotheross. Also, if you're in L.A., come to my comedy show sometime. Holyfuckcomedy.com. It's every Tuesday. It's
and
free.
Say H to the Izzo. H to the Izzo. D to... No.
Wait, what is that?
That's high. H to the Izzo, right?
When H to the Izzo.
It's part of a song, though. H to the Izzo. D to... Well,
I'm a total square when it comes to pop music.
It's like really old. Really not that good either.
Scott Joplin song.
Oh, I looked up Bass Nectar.
Oh, dude, they're great, aren't they?
Ian and Alicia were on the show, they mentioned Bass Nectar, and then Dave got crazy, and then I was like, I don't know who that is. But I've been listening to Skrillex and Nero and all those guys, so it's very similar, like in the music. Like all
I also like RJD2. RJD2,
yeah.
He's great.
But Bass Nectar, I've had some great sex to Bass Nectar.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, that is fucking, that's great screwing
music.
Like,
wah, wah, wah. It's like that deep,
I never get around to actually playing music during sex. I miss that. I used to do that more in college.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah,
it's that's like, unfortunate.
Yeah. But just don't do Pandora with the advertising that comes in the middle.
Oh, that's hilarious. Really, I actually only listen to ads during sex. Super loud. Yeah.
Sexy. All right. Well, I'm Sandra Doherty, Sex Nerd Sandra. My website is sexnerdsandra.com, at sexnerdsandra on Twitter. And I do coaching and I do workshops and I teach and I talk about sex and it is fun. I like my job. I like it a lot. So thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends, please. Sex Nerds Unite. Have a good one. Bye.
Now leaving nerdist.com.